Good to be with you again this evening, and I'd like to consider the third of the servant songs as we have it in the book of Isaiah. This morning we looked at the second servant song as we have it in chapter 49, and the third song we find in chapter 50. The song is actually verses 4 to 9, but I'm going to read verse 10 and 11 as well, because that sort of comments on the song. Isaiah 50, reading from verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. And may the Lord bless to us the reading of his own precious word. We've been considering on those first Lord's days of the month some of the names of God. And one of the names was Jehovah. We find it in our English Bibles, usually with the capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. We have it there in verse 10. Who is among you that feareth Jehovah? One of the names we haven't looked at yet, and I'd like to go on, God willing, one of these months, would be to look at the other often referring name for God, and that is simply Lord. Capital L, then small case O-R-D, which is different to Jehovah. Adonai. It literally means master. We normally think of master in terms of the boss and the servant. You know? The one who is in control, and then the one who serves him. There's another usage in the Old Testament, and in cultures, old cultures, and some cultures today, where the term Lord would refer to the husband in the husband-wife relationship. In the Old Testament, if you can remember, Sarah called Abram Lord. So when we think of Lord, as we have it there in verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Yes, it's the master and the servant, but also it's the the leader and those who belong to him. Those who are one with him. And it's amazing really that God has taken this title which often is used amongst people. He has taken it and he has filled it with this divine application. With this spiritual meaning. That because of his mercy and grace, we can know him as our master, but we can also be one with him. Just like two people who are separate individuals, but come together in the terms of the marriage covenant and become one flesh. This is a little illustration of that bond which exists between Christ and his people, Christ and the church, where they become one. It's an amazing, isn't it? We can know God and we can be numbered with his people. We can be part of him. Now we will never be divine in that sense. But to be one in his family, we will always be, in many sense, human. We will never be equal with God. But he calls us into his family and we are part of his family. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. This master-servant relationship. And to draw some of the points I'd like to make in future visits, if the Lord wills it, is this. I want to look at these songs in Isaiah to do with the servant. And then later on to think of the relationship between the servant and the master. So this is the third of the servant songs. That was a bit of a long preamble, wasn't it? Forgive me. The first servant song we found in Isaiah chapter 42, where the servant is the one who will establish justice in the earth. He is the one who will reign. And so we see the servant and the servant king. The one we looked at this morning in Isaiah chapter 49, it was the one who comes and not only brings the word of God, but he is the word of God. He is the prophet. So he is the servant prophet. The servant king, the servant prophet. The one who comes and he is the message. And we saw there the importance of being at one with the message. I've forgotten the name of the man now, but I read at one time, quite a while back, about this atheist who lived in Czechoslovakia in those days. I'm not quite sure if it was Czech now or Slovakia, but in present day terms. But in those days he lived in the country that was known as Czechoslovakia. He was quite an academic. And he set about to discredit the gospel, to discredit the Bible and the message of the Bible. And at the end of his attempt to do this, he became a believer. Wonderful, isn't it? And they asked him, well, what sort of really affected you when you looked into this? And what he said was this, was that I realized that when I studied the life of Christ, that not only did he bring the message, but he was the message. And his consistency and his purity and his way of life just so was at one with the message he preached. And that really spoke powerfully to him. And you know, there's real power in a life that is totally committed and devoted and is at one with the message. Isn't that right? We've got to walk the walk as well as talking the talk. And we saw this morning that the servant not only brings the word, but his life illustrates the word. He is completely at one with the message. He is the message. The word was made flesh and made his dwelling among us. Tonight we're going to look at this third of the servant songs, and again it's autobiographical. It is the servant himself who is speaking here. Let's just follow the text down and draw out what we feel the Lord would have to say to us tonight. May our hearts be open to what he would show us. Verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And if we've seen the servant as the ruler who will establish justice in the earth in the first song, if we've seen the servant as the one who will proclaim the message, the one who will preach the message, who will teach the people, the one who is the word, the one who is the gospel. In the second song, in this song we see one who reaches out, the one who cares, the one who invites people to come and trust. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here is the one who is the pastor, the shepherd of the sheep. The servant who cares. The one who reaches out. So, the Lord God hath given me, he could say, the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And to do that, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And even the servant himself, the one who is the Word made flesh, living amongst us, it is important for him, even though he is who he is, before he can minister and reach out, first of all, he has to take in. Before he can give that word in season to the weary, before he can feed the needy soul, before he can offer hope and light in the darkness, he first has to meet with his Father. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens mine ear to hear as the learned. And that is so important, isn't it? That is something for us to take on board. Do you know, if we are going to serve, we have to spend time with the Lord. Before we can give out and minister and serve the Lord, we need to be in the quiet place. We need to be in the place where he speaks to us and teaches us. Before we can say anything, he has to minister to us before we can minister to anybody else. Before we can serve him, he has to instruct us. He has to teach us. He wakens me morning by morning so that I can hear his voice. So that I could hear what he would say to me. So that he could teach me and show me for this day. And as I meet different people, I want to spend time with him so that I know. And of course, the Lord was with this. Can I just remind you of these verses in Mark? In Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Remember, life was busy for him. If I can take you back a few verses to verse 30 of chapter 1 of Mark. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Now verse 32, and at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Here is the servant, God's servant, and he's reaching out. He's coming to those who are weary and heavy laden, encompassed around with many different complaints, and here he is ministering to them. But look at verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. You see, morning by morning, he awakened me. Morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And as he came to those people, as we were thinking this morning, as he came to those people who were so needy and bothered by so many things, he would sit with them and he would listen to them. He would listen to the needs and the problems that were on their heart. But before he could listen to them, he had to listen to God. And that's how it has to be. Before we can listen and seek to be a servant of God and to be a blessing to other people, before we listen to them, we have to listen to him. We have to spend time with him. I don't think it's all that important, although we should begin each day with the Lord. But whether that's our main time spent with him, I don't think it's important perhaps when it should be during the day. In my own experience, I've talked to people and, in the morning, it's really hard work for them. It's really hard going. They are not, as we say, morning people. Other people are as bright as a button in the morning. And that's the time when they like to get down to it and really get into it. Other people are more night people, and they find it most productive when in the afternoon or the evening they get down and spend time. But whenever is the most effective for us, every day we should spend time with the Master, shouldn't we? Eh? We should be. And here's the servant, and the whole world is at the door. And the pressures perhaps are there, and the demands upon him are there. But we don't see him hurried. We see him still, morning by morning, just spending time with his Father. And if we just encourage ourselves, life can be so busy, and this needs to be done, and that needs to be done. But listen, if we are not spending time in the Word, and if we are not spending time with our Heavenly Father, it is so counterproductive. We really need to spend time with the Lord. And if we are called to be servants, and if we are true followers of the servant, then this is the pattern he has set out for us. One who speaks a word in season because the Lord has spoken to him. And the one who listens to others because he first has listened to the Lord, morning by morning. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And here we see the complete commitment of the servant. This one who is the great shepherd of the sheep. This one who cares and reaches out and ministers to other. Here we see his total commitment to this work. And the Lord is looking for people who will first have communion and direction from their Father, but also will have a total obedience to the task in hand. He calls us to be faithful servants, faithful to our calling, to be committed. I don't know if you agree with this, but I think we live in a world where commitment is not really a top priority, is it? I mean, generally today it's, well, if it suits you, you know. And I hear this quite a lot too. You can start to think this yourself as well. I'm just speaking for myself. Is that you can get to the point where you say, "Oh well, I've done my bit," right? You say, "Well, I've had my turn. You know, I've done my turn." The Master is calling us to serve him, and to serve him, we have to spend time with him, and we have to be committed to this. It's a life task. I'm not saying he could call you to serve him in this way and then perhaps later on he calls you to another sphere of service. But the life, our lives from now on is we are called in whatever way to give our lives to him. Say, "Lord, take my life. I want to serve you. I want you to be glorified in my life." And as we were thinking this morning, in the second servant song in 49, there's going to be discouragements. There's going to be difficulties along the way. And the servant here in this song knew it. "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned I away back." Verse 6, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off their hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." And he calls us to serve him. And there will be difficulties. There will be hardships along the way. There will be discouraged. But like as we were seeing in the second servant song this morning, is that when we face those things, we know we have a Savior who has already been that way. He has suffered discouragements. He has suffered opposition. And he has suffered opposition like no man has suffered. And of course, these verses refer particularly to that time when he went to the cross and he laid down his life as a ransom for many. "He gave his back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off their hair. I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting, and they spat on him." Here is the servant who is totally committed to his people. Oh, how he loves them and cares for them and gives his life for them. The commitment, his commitment is total. This is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? For the Lord God, verse 7, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. Remember that point in the Gospels where he set his face towards Jerusalem? Do you remember that? And nothing but nothing but nothing would deter him. Even his disciples came and said, you can't mean this. Get thee behind me, Satan. He set his face as a flint. He would do the Master's will. I delight not to do my own will, he said, but the will of him that sent me. And he knew that he would not be ashamed. Oh, he was shamed. I hid not my face from shame and spit in, but he knew that he would not be ashamed. That's the difference, isn't it? The shame, but not ashamed. He was not disgraced. He was endured the shame, but he was not ashamed. Verse 8, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Can I ask you, when you read those verses, no? Are you like me? You just want to launch into Romans chapter 8. I read those verses because they remind us so much of the servant song here. Pure is the Lord, set in his face as a flint. He is not going to be deterred from the calling. He is the shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He delights to do the Father's will. He is not going to be diverted in any way. And he knows that whilst he will endure shame and spit in. He will not be ashamed because God is with him. And he will accomplish his great plan. See, when we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, we read these words. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now remember what the servant is saying in Isaiah chapter 5. Who's going to contend with me? Who's going to lay anything to my charge? And the servant said that. And now Paul is saying these same words to us, and he is saying, listen, because of the servant, we who were called to serve him can now say the same things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or naked or peril or sword? See, here's the servant and he is saying, I've learned from the Master. He has given me what to say and what to do so that I can fulfill my ministry. And I'm being obedient to my calling. And there's hardship along the way. There's trouble along this path. But I set my face. I've made this commitment. I delight to do his will. And I know that I will not be ashamed. I know that the end is glorious. And I know that nobody can stand against what is going to be accomplished here. And there is nobody can condemn. And there is nobody can lay anything to my work or ministry. Any charge against me. And because of that glorious work of the servant. And because of that glorious finished completed work, we who are called to follow him, we can stand where he stands and say, yes, he guides me too. And he leads me in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. And he has a purpose for my life. And he is going to lead me and guide me. And yes, there will be difficulties along the way. But with his help, I'm making this commitment and I'm going to follow him. And I'm not going to be deterred from being a child of God and a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be his servant. And I know that I am safe. And I know there's coming a day when not one single person will lay a charge against me. Because I stand completely justified in Christ. And the judgment from the judge of the whole world is justified. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I am safe in his keeping. What a position we have as believers, isn't it? Yeah. Eh? Now he calls us. He says, tomorrow, on Monday, I'm going to give you something for Monday. Don't miss out on your meeting with me tomorrow. I'll give you food for your soul. I'll give you direction and guidance. And I'll give you the strength to serve me tomorrow, when tomorrow comes. Each day, like the manna in the wilderness. Remember the manna? They couldn't go out and get 2 weeks' supply and say, well, that's it now. We've got 2 weeks' supply. We can take it easy for the rest of the week and live off our 2 weeks. No. The manna wasn't like that. The manna would grow mildew and rotten. Every morning they had to go out, get a fresh supply. It's like his grace. Every day we need his grace. And we know that when we walk, if we are not rebellious, and if we obey him, and if we commit ourselves to him and walk with him, we know that he will bless. We might not always see the results as we were seeing this morning. But I tell you what, the greatest blessing of all is knowing God as your portion. Right? Knowing his fellowship. Knowing the joy of belonging to him. Oh, as we look at the life of the servant, we who are little servants, oh, may we know too that same joy of serving together our risen, glorified Lord. May it be so for his name's sake, for the glory of his great name, for our good and blessing, and for our effectiveness as we seek to reach out to others. Amen. Amen. Now let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the example in these songs in Isaiah of the wonderful one who came in the fullness of time, the one who is the servant above all other servants. And Lord, we just thank you for the things that we have you've shown us in these songs. And Lord, we just pray that we might, with your help, Lord, just take them on board, what it truly means to be a servant. Lord, we confess our sins so often, Lord, we fall short of what the people that we should be. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, and we pray, Lord, that you will more and more help us to be more conformed into the likeness of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. May we live and move in the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in these mortal bodies. And Lord, we ask that in these very ordinary lives, that we might see an extraordinary God at work. And that, Lord, will there be something of the beauty of Jesus about us. Oh, help us, Lord, we pray. The need out there is dire. Lord, we are living in such troubled days.
where men's hearts are failing them for fear. They don't know which way to turn. Oh Lord, we pray that your people may not be found lacking, that we will be the people that we should be, we pray. Help us, Lord, we ask. We thank you for this little fellowship of your people here. Lord, encourage them in these days. Again, we pray for our dear brother Mark. And we thank you for him, Lord. And we pray that you will look after him and just bless this time away to him. May he be refreshed in his own soul, Lord, as he spends time with meeting other Christians. And then bring him back safely to the fellowship, Lord, we pray. And bless his labors here and encourage him in yourself and his family, Lord. We commit them to you afresh tonight. And for each one, Lord, we pray that we might know your help and your presence in these days. Lord, hear our prayer. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.